husbands as you are to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, the body of which he is the Savior. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, in order to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing of water by the word, so as to present the church to himself in splendor, without a spot or wrinkle or anything of the kind. Yes, so that she may be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as they do their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own body, but he nourishes and tenderly cares for it, just as Christ does for the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a great mystery, and I am applying it to Christ and the church. Each of you, however, should love his wife as himself, and a wife should respect her husband. Here ends the reading.
Thank you very much. Wonderful passage of Scripture. Glad that Jeff had to read it and I didn't. That's why we have lay readers, in case we have those kinds of passages where, I don't know if I should read that. I'm not going to be able to live with my wife the rest of the day. Pretty solid passage of Scripture. We're going to take a look at it this morning, but I want to read an additional Scripture to you that's sort of very, very update, and it doesn't come from the Bible. It comes from Good Housekeeping, but it may qualify as a very important reading as we consider the whole theme of fireproof and how we define it in our lives as spouses, husbands and wives. This is for people who have ever been married and who are going to get married and who are presently married, or who know somebody who may be married. It's for all of us because it deals with some critical issues. Dear husband, I don't like the way the letter begins. Dear husband, the purpose of this letter is to inform you that I'm leaving the position with your family effective immediately. I will be relocating to the Bahamas in the near future. As much as I'd love to stay on as one of your chief laundresses, cook, nurse, teacher, chauffeur, housemaid, waitress, and maid, I simply do not get paid enough to put up with your six children. I like that. Today, for example, Spaz launched his dinner plate across the room like some medieval catapult because his meatball was touching his spaghetti. Your sons also had a battle in the family room with pillows as their weapon of choice. And when battling the forces of evil, I suppose one must take the high ground, which would explain why they were jumping around on the couch while flinging the pillows at one another. And in doing so, they snapped the wooden frame, which burst through the fabric. One of your children managed to lock everyone out of the bathroom. Well, I assume it was one of your children because they unanimously agreed that not me was the guilty party. Not me has also been responsible for laying wet towels on the floor, spilling juice on the carpet, eating an entire pack of gum from my purse, and flushing Barbie dolls down the toilet. I, however, have not yet been able to catch not me in the act. I appreciate the opportunities provided to me during my service. Had I not held this position, I would have never learned that staples pass painlessly through a one-year-old's digestive system, or that blue popsicles were turned a toddler's poop neon green. Clearly, the past 13 years have given me invaluable skills that will help me acquire a new position in the real world. Please do not let me know if I can be of assistance during the transition. I have turned off my phone and am now enjoying doing nothing but reading non-Dr. Seuss books, eating non-mac and cheese, and consuming large quantities of tropical drinks with little umbrellas. Signed, Dawn. Now you know why we need fireproof. And the opportunity to understand the tremendous differences between who we are, not only as husbands and wives, but as men and as women. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord God, for calling us together this day, for the wonderful opportunity you give us to share life, and the wonderful opportunity you give us to come to grips with our differences as well as our similarities, to realize that this is not a fantasy world in which we live, but a real world, which calls to our attention the demand for real needs on our own part, to work together, to pray together, to love together, to grow together in a relationship that can not only change our own homes, but change the world in which we live. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, the film some of you have already seen, about 15 or so who valiantly came out during the snowstorm recently on Friday and saw the film. The rest of you hopefully will come and see it this evening. If you have anybody in your neighborhood who happens to be married, give them a call and invite them to come this evening. I've seen the film personally. It's extremely inspirational. The plot is tremendously great and moving. We can identify with everything that goes on in the film. You will not want to miss it. 6:30 this evening, I guarantee you, you will be moved by what you experience in this wonderful, inspirational film. Fireproof means to be capable of withstanding or preventing damage by fire. I mean, we take care of our homes. Theoretically, we take care of our church when the alarm doesn't go off by itself for some unknown reason or another. But over the next 6 weeks, we're going to learn how to fireproof not only our marriages, but our friendships and our relationships at home, at work, at school, on the job, off the job, in comfortable situations and stressful situations. This is not simply a film series about marriage. Only two sessions during the series deal with the subject of marriage specifically, and all of them deal with the subject of relationships and how to build them and how to deal with them, how to deal not only with the wonderful similarities, but the tremendous differences we experience as men and women. And today I thought a good place to begin, maybe the best place of all to sort of focus our direction on this, would be to go right at the beginning of the beginning. Genesis, the first chapter. So God created humankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the face of the earth." Right from the beginning, two people had to learn how to get along with the opposite sex. That is not something new to the 21st century. Right from the start, they had to learn how to get along with each other. So you see, the challenge hasn't changed since the dawn of creation. We're not talking about something new. It's something we all should be able to get a hold of. We are different from the beginning, and we are still different today. I want you to take a look, just a very brief look at a clip from the film Fireproof, and watch what can happen if you expect your partner to be just like you.
Honey, I agree with you. You gotta get out. He don't deserve you.
You can say that again. A real man's gotta be a hero to his wife before he can be to anybody else. Or he ain't a real man.
Catherine, do you need a place to stay? I can't imagine living in the same house with that man.
No, I decided last night that I'm not the one that's leaving. He's the problem, not me.
That's right, girl. Stand your ground. Make him respect you. If there's one thing a man understands...
It's respect. That's the issue. That's the reason our marriage is failing. She shows me no respect at all. And the saddest part about it is...
He doesn't have a clue. He thinks our marriage has been fine for the most part. Mm. You know, he probably thinks...
Our marriage has been fine until this year. Now, all of a sudden, she goes off the deep end.
Do you really think this happened all of a sudden?
I don't know what to think. I don't understand her. She's emotional about everything, She's easily offended and way too sensitive.
I mean, he's so insensitive. You know? He doesn't truly care how I feel. He doesn't listen to me. Even if I say it over and over and over again.
And then she starts nagging me and saying I don't listen to her or something like that. It drives me crazy. I feel like I'm going...
insane. You know, he doesn't understand my needs. I feel like we are completely and totally...
incompatible. She's probably whining to her friends, making me sound like a criminal. I can see them all right now, crying, having some sort of group hug.
It's gonna be okay, sweetie. It's gonna be all right.
You'll get through this.
We have you. We'll be happy again. Don't worry.
So you think it's past the point of no return?
I don't have a reason to return.
Whoa. That's a pretty good film clip. Now, the rest of the film is just like that, so you'll want to be a part of it. And we're going to take a look today at just three principles which may help you fireproof your marriage or fireproof your relationships with others as sort of guidelines for today. We're going to begin with that wonderful passage of Scripture of Ephesians 5:21. Be subject to or submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Be subject or submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. When you take a look at this, to be subject to or submit to, if you take a look at the Greek word and translate it, it's sort of like a military term. And those of us who've been in the military know exactly what it means to be subject to or submit to someone else who is definitely over us. And when you take a look at the Greek word, it means to line up under or to give up your rights for another person. In the military, you learn that right from day one in basic training. The object is not to lift up the individual, but to lift up the group, the body, so it can work effectively together in peacetime and war. It's not about you, it's about the other individual. It's about the security and safety of those around you and the world in which you live in. And what is said in verse 22 applies both to verses 20, that is in 21, both to verses 22 and 25. It says, wives, be subject to your husband as you are the Lord, and husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The bottom line in both of these passages, don't get nostalgia over the passage that may relate to you. The bottom line in both of them is that men and women are to line up under their mates, to give up something of themselves to make the marriage work. It's not about you, it's about your spouse. It's always about your spouse, not about yourself. If that's the direction you go, says Ephesians, then you're close to capturing the significance of what it means to be in a relationship and meeting each other's needs. And I can think of a few illustrations. I'll relate them just to myself and to Carolyn, because that's the best illustration I have over 46 years. Like taking out the trash. I don't know if this is ever a significant problem for you in your particular household. I would gather a few glances this morning and say it may be. And Carolyn may say with all sympathetic connotations in her tone of voice, Bob, it's time to, you know, take out the trash. We totally forgot about it. You know, they pick it up today. Well, what if I responded, well, I don't care. Take it out yourself. You can see that I'm busy. Oh. Well, now if we go back to Ephesians 5, it says, no, wait a minute. That's not about you. It's about the other person. Because I know if I had made that statement, I probably would be wearing the trash rather than taking it out. Or the other day, to be more specifically, and this actually happened, Carolyn and I went up to Denver to see Diane Leonard at University Hospital. I hadn't been to University Hospital in a number of months. I don't know how long it's been. We very rarely have patients there, but I usually go up to see them. Well, we arrived at the university hospital, and I noticed the parking garage was closed. There was yellow tape across the entrance. I thought, well, I don't know where in the world I'm going to park. And so we drove around a little bit, and then I noticed the restaurant was closed down. That's right there on ground level as we were driving by. I thought, well, this doesn't make sense. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me, like a light came on as I was driving around the hospital. Well, the whole thing was closed down. All the entrances had that yellow tape at the doors. There wasn't any way to get in this hospital. And my immediate response, it was sort of goofy. She was on the 8th floor. My immediate response was to look up to the 8th floor as if to say, I know the hospital is closed, but I've talked to her, and she's on the 8th floor. I wasn't quite sure what to do, so I found the number for the hospital because I had called them before. There was somebody at the switchboard. I was really frantic at this point in time. I thought old age may be catching up with me. Well, I got the message from the operator at the hospital I don't know where you've been, but we've moved. I said, what? Yeah, we're no longer where you are. We happen to be at the corner of Colfax and Peoria. Honey, can you help me? Please, would you mind looking up Colfax and Peoria on the map and give me some directions so I can see which way I'm going? And she could have said, well, pull over and park and do it yourself. I'm fixing my nails. Leave me alone. Well, actually, that's what she said. No, she didn't say. She said, no, wait a minute. Oh, she said, sure. And we had a map all folded up there in that side pocket in the door. And it wasn't a small map. In fact, it almost covered my vision for driving as she opened that thing up. It was my need she was meeting at that moment. And I needed her help, and she responded. It was not about her or what she was doing. It was about me. What a principle. How would our marriages be if our first thought, if always our first thought, was to serve the other rather than being served? If our first thought was how to care for our spouse rather than care for ourselves, how would marriages be? How many would not dissolve? To say to the one we love, well, starting today, I'm going to quit trying to make you the person I think you should be, affirm the person you are, and focus on being there for you. I don't know how many of us enter marriage with the thought in mind that we can change the person once we're married. Living proof is this. If you haven't been able to change that individual while you're courting and before you're married, you'll never change them after you're married. That just doesn't happen in 99.9% of the time. The second fireproof principle comes from Ephesians 5:33. The last verse where Paul says this, each of you, however, should love your wife as himself, and a wife should respect her husband. Now, I know you're caught up in this thing right away and getting a little smirky about it. Well, now, what's the difference? One shows love and the other one shows respect. I don't get that at all. See there, you're already showing favoritism. What's the matter with that passage of Scripture? Could we please take it out of our Bibles and substitute something else in its place? Emerson Eggerichs writes about this passage of Scripture in his wonderful book, Love and Respect. If you haven't gotten a hold of it or been to the Love and Respect conference, you might want to pick it up. He writes this. He said, you know, I've had an awful lot of formal training, but when this illustration from Scripture exploded in my heart and mind one day in 1998, it nearly blew me away. It was more than I could imagine. He said, Paul had it right. In marriage, there is a strong tie between love and respect. He said, when that aha moment came, I realized that without respect, a husband will often react without love. And without love, a wife will often react without respect. Men search for respect. Women search for love. But they're both combined in remarkable ways. Thus begins the crazy cycle of one leading to the other over and over again. And this love and respect are unconditional, without qualification. You love whether it's deserved or not. You see, that was part of the problem in relationships. We love it if it's deserved. No, we don't do that. We love even if it's not deserved. We show respect even if it's not deserved. Because how are you going to get the opposite if you don't show the basic love and respect in the first place? You're not going to get it from your spouse if you don't give it. Understanding and celebrating the differences in each of us and treating each other accordingly. I found some interesting thoughts I wanted to share with you about this. Some very obvious differences between men and women. Most of you know most of the differences, but I wanted to just lift this up because women will agree with some of these and men will agree with some of them. Men have thicker skulls than women. Yeah. You know, I think that's pretty cool. They have more red blood cells and more muscle tissue. Women tend to be more resistant to heat and cold and outlive men by a number of years. From the first moment of birth, little girls have more lip and mouth movement than boys. No, this is a great scientific discovery that most of us found out without the scientific discovery. And in a Harvard study of hundreds of preschoolers, researchers found that 100% of the sounds coming from little girls' mouths were words, whereas only 60% of the sounds coming from preschool boys were words. The other 40% were yells and sound effects like vroom, rah, toot, toot. And it's pointed out that this difference persists into adulthood. And communication experts say that the average woman speaks about 25,000 words a day, while the average man speaks only a little over 10,000. What does this mean in marital terms? It means this, that very often when a man comes home, he has already used up his 10,000 words. Why, the wife is just now warming up and getting ready to go. So when he's sitting there saying, please, just give me a moment, she is rattling on about what has gone on during the day or the past month and expecting you to catch up on it. That's why marriages are tough and require a lot of work. We're totally different kind of people, but for some reason or another, we expect us all to be the same. I like Brad Paisley's song, Remember I'm a Guy. I'm not going to sing it for you. You're lucky. When you see a deer, you see Bambi, and I see antlers up on a wall. When you see a lake, you think picnics, and I see a largemouth bass up under a log. You're probably thinking that you're going to change me in some ways. Well, maybe you might. Scrub me down, dress me up, but oh, no matter what, remember, I'm still a guy. Gary Smalley talks about going shopping with his wife, Norma, wanting to build up his relationship with Norma. It took him a long time to understand that women like to shop. So he figured the best way to build the relationship is to go shopping with her. You know, this would be a fun experience. He thought it would represent to her him giving up some of his time and his love and his affection to do the kinds of things that she wants to do. She loved to shop, and so he would go with her to look for a summer blouse she said she needed. A great lesson was to be learned. They went from store to store to store to store, looking and trying on blouse after blouse after blouse, and looking at other things too, like skirts and sweaters and slacks, and all the kinds of things that might go with the blouse. Well, they stopped off for coffee, and they eventually ended up looking for a dress for their daughter, Carrie. Wait a minute, he said, I thought we came out here to look for a blouse. Smiley writes this, and I quote, you know what I learned that night? I wasn't at the mall shopping for blouses with my wife. I was hunting for blouses. I wanted to conquer the blouse, get back into the car, and go home. Isn't that the way we operate? We got it down. One blouse should take about 7 minutes. So it takes maybe 10 minutes to get to the store, 10 minutes to get back, 7 minutes for the blouse. I'll be home by the second half of the game. I wanted to conquer the blouse and get back into the car and head for home. My wife, however, looked at shopping from a very different angle. For her, it was a way to spend time communicating and sharing together. You see, our differences are what makes marriages so challenging, but also so wonderful. And if you haven't done it lately, tell your husband you're really proud of him, and you'll get the love that you're looking for. And guys, tell your wife you love her and she's still the girl of your dreams, and you'll get the respect that you're seeking. The third fireproofing principle is really based on these verses from today's scripture, verses 31 and 32. Very, very important. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, and I am applying it to Christ and the church. All of this is to say that marriage is always something more than marriage. It is. It's something more than marriage. And I love what Paul captured for us. It is a mystery. And some will say, oh, God, you're absolutely right. It's a mystery. I've been with that guy so long. It's a mystery that takes place in the very heart of God, defining and revealing itself in Jesus Christ, God with us. It's a mystery that has come to life. And in that gift of Jesus, we begin to experience the examples of life and love and sacrifice and commitment that must guide who we are as husband and wife. A mystery that takes place, that gives direction to who we are. It's more than a legal exchange when we get married. It is a God-honoring and hope-filled sacred moment in time and space which can never be repeated. No matter how many times you're married, it can never be repeated. A sacred moment. A mystery. Way back in the 1960s when I was just a child, The Beatles wrote a song that sold so many, many copies, and some of you know it better than I, on records and cassettes and tapes and CDs. And the name of the song was All You Need Is Love. Yeah, you remember the words? The entire lyrics are easy to remember. I'll sort of give them to you. It's this way. All you need is love. Ooh, 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 ooh. All you need is love. Ooh, 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 ooh. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. 21st century's marriages need love, all right. They need tough love. And in that sacred commitment, we grasp that love, that mystery that lasts a lifetime and beyond, requires so much more than we can simply give to it, but that God can give to us in making that relationship strong. It is a mystery. You see, marriage does need fireproofing. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been married. It still takes an awful lot of hard work to celebrate our differences, to recognize what it means to love and respect one another and to commit our relationship to Christ. Those are some of the things that will ensure us that if we're married today, we will be married for tomorrow and forever. Amen.